Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo.
Hello? Hello? Bobby, can you hear me?
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Oh my goodness. Let me start this real quick. Hold on a second, Mike. Oh my God.
All right.
Freaking amateurs. Okay, well, let's start the show. How about that?
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo.
Greg, I don't know what the heck happened, man. I was trying to get the show going, and it's just all over the place, but we're here. I got my man Michael Parks, who can finally hear me. Now, you can hear me now, right, Mike?
I can hear you loud and clear,
you know,
man. What's going
dude,
on?
I had so much to talk to you about, but we got to get Erin Muro on here at 7:15. So she's coming up. We're going to talk some MMA because it's a huge weekend, of course, for MMA, wrestling, all kinds of crap. And then at about the 45-minute mark, we're going to have Príncipe León, who I went to go see out. Well, actually went to go see Dashade and a couple of different people out there in Las Vegas, but I saw Príncipe León and I wanted to get him on here. So we'll talk to him about that. But real quick, before we have to get Erin Muro and take the big break, did you, Mike, get to see the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, the Final Frontier or whatever it was called?
It was the final battle, sir. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Dude. This is what happened. We got home. Jessica, Nicolette and I got home late. We got home at about, I'm going to say, 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Because we drove back from Vegas that night because, you know me, I'm cheap. I didn't want to pay for an extra day on the rental car. So we got home, took like nap or whatever, took the rental car back, did some stuff and all that. And I said, you know, I was content with just watching the prelims for the UFC and then watching the pay-per-view. So I said, I'm going to go ahead and get the pay-per-view because it's just going to be me at home or whatever. I'm, dude, god-awful. I mean, other than Dragon Lee and Rey Horus in the first match, I thought it was just god-awful. The, no crowd participation, no heat, no nothing. Braun Strowman, ani madre way. I thought it was horrible. I wanted to see, like, since I think they worked this. If it was going to be the last pay-per-view, I wanted to see, like, Loki, Ricky Reyes, as well as Rocky Romero, just a whole bunch of people that were there, you know, from the beginning. So give me your thoughts on that. Did you think it was a good pay-per-view? I thought it sucked fresh river water.
some of it did. I liked the Jay Lethal Jonathan Gresham match. You didn't like it?
What's worse than the drizzling shits?
Oh my god!
But if you like the Briscoe Brothers match, that was pretty good for what it was. It was pretty good. I thought it could have been a little bit better, but just if it's the last, if it's the final frontier, if it's the go home, if it's the end all to be all, I want to see everybody on their feet. I want to see people throwing money or whatever, but you can't have you got to have some heat, man, and some people, some pop, you know, to get that crowd going. You know, I don't know what happened to Bandido and Rush and all. I mean, who knows? I mean, I know it's business is business, but I thought it was wickedy whack. Brody King, Ricky Reyes against EC3 and them, that match was okay. Homicide, you know, came out in the old gear and stuff like that. So I thought it was okay, but I thought it was whack. I thought, for your end-all, be-all pay-per-view, I thought that was I really wanted my money back. I got to be honest with you. I just thought it was going to be – so I got suckered into it. And then at the end, they said something like reboot or something in February. So I think we got worked. What about yourself?
Well, I thought Bandido was under protocol.
I don't care. Bandito was way ahead of his time with his mask anyways. He's got a COVID mask 24/7.
Well, I understand, but Jordan Grace, who's Jonathan Grisham's wife.
Right.
She had tweeted out that Bandito wasn't going to show up. He wasn't going to be there to wrestle Jonathan Grisham. Because they were supposed to wrestle each other.
Right.
And it's either something medical or it was protocol that he wasn't going to be there. So that's why Jay Lethal was thrown in there.
I don't know why I didn't know that. Probably because I was gone for the whole weekend. But, you know, we got so much to talk about. You know, I want to talk a little bit about this show out there. Because I was so, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, livid. Or whatever. I was texting Mike while I was at the show because there was just so many things. You know, my pet peeve is I don't like people that can see the show that didn't pay for the show. Maybe I'm old or whatever.
Right.
But we, you know, hey, man, I could have called and said, hey, look, man, I'm coming from Lucha Central and I'm going to put you guys on the air, even though I already had somebody, Dashade, you know, on the air to promote or whatever, you know. No, but we paid Jessica Nicolette herself bought VIP tickets to support the company. You know what I mean? So it kind of sucks that you pay to see the show and somebody could just stand outside and watch the whole show for free. Maybe it's just me. I mean, I don't know. We'll talk a little bit about that when I come back, but that's just one of my pet peeves. I want to talk a little bit about the matches and stuff like that. There was a couple that were pretty good. There were a couple things I got to get. Got to talk to Mike about. I don't know if I talked to Mike about this before, but I intergender matches are cool with me, but I don't like when a man is punching and kicking a woman, regardless. We all know that, you know, it's entertainment or whatever, but I just don't like the fact that, you know, men punching women, regardless. Sends a bad message to the kids. There's a way you could work around it, you know, and there was quite a bit of that at that show. So I just want to cover that. But I got to get to Aaron because I got to talk some UFC. This always happens to me, Mike, too. You know, when I gamble, you know, when I said, okay, I don't think the pay-per-view – I knew Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes were going to deliver. But I'm like paying it. I'm going to get the Ring of Honor instead. Of course, my social media was blowing up. Dude, you should have seen this fight. And then I'm like, God dang it. So, anyways, let me take the quick break, Mike.
You should have called me. You should have called me. We would have went old school. I'll have brought my box over.
You should have told me, man. I was all over the place anyways. I don't know. Yeah, we should have called 15 people and put them in Jessica's bedroom. Then we really would have went old school. let me take the big break. Hold on a second, man. I have brand new mics, you know, and everything. And I've been just so lazy to hook them up that I'm still using the one that I have to hold to my mouth. So let me take the big break. We'll come back. And we'll talk to Aaron Mortal real quick, talk some UFC, and then Mike and I will talk a little bit more. We'll talk to Príncipe León, who was on that show out there for Pride Style, and then we'll wrap it up with Mike and I giving our thoughts on these specific things for independent wrestling. Hang on, Mike. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a look at all of the great shows available this week on the Lucha Central Podcast Network, where you can always find each show on its own or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show for every show in one easy feed. Monday, Lucha Libre Figures and Facts returns as the crew talks about the history of one of Lucha Libre's most influential personalities, Conan, including an in-depth look at his Toy Biz WCW Slam and Crunch action figure. Tuesday, it's Mass, Mats, and Mayhem as Lucha Underground executive producer and showrunner Eric Van Wagenen is back for part two of his interview, where he gets confronted with the number one question on the minds of series fans. Will Lucha Underground return? Tune in Tuesday for his answer and a whole lot more. Thursday, on Straight Out of the Bodega, Papo Esco and Gabriel Ramirez are joined by WWE NXT referee Tom Caster, who trained for his career in NorCal and was part of many area promotions, including PWR, before his move to the international stage. The trio talks Tom's incredible journey leading up to his tryout, signing with WWE, and the road to recovery after his gruesome injury where his leg snapped mid-match, but he kept officiating until the end. This is an interview you won't want to miss. Also,
okay, yeah. You know, I'm sorry, dude, but I don't know what's going on with the blog talk or whatever. Sorry, you know, what's his name? Kevin's always like, dude, you know, just do everything behind the scenes, blah, 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 whatever. But I don't know what the heck is going on, dude. So, Greg, I'm producer Greg DeMarco. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to get everything done, but it's just – it's a mess, and it's all over the place. So, hopefully, Mike, you can still hear me, right?
Yes, I can.
They're gonna go, I don't know. I don't know what – maybe because who knows, man? I don't know. But let's call Erin Muro. See, hopefully, she'll be able to hear us, Mike, and then we'll go – we'll go from there. Sorry, Greg, man, because Greg's going to have to cut the commercials in when I do that. So hopefully we'll be okay. Hello?
Hey, Fabi.
Hello. Oh, hey, can you hear me, Aaron? Okay. You know, usually I hear the dial tone, but I don't. But real quick, for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. I got my man Michael Parks hanging with me. I'm sorry. It took me a minute to get everything together because I'm all over the place. But on the line with us right now, somebody who – it's funny. When I was watching the pay-per-view, all I could think of was calling Aaron to get her on here because her and I, like, kind of – similar in our thinking in the world of MMA. But real quick, Aaron, first of all, can you hear me? Everything okay? You can hear me okay, Aaron?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great, because, oh, my God, you have no idea what I'm going through. But, you know, I know you're not too familiar with the new format with WrestleBoss and everything like that, but I got my man Michael Parks hanging with me. He's been working with me and putting up with my crap for over 20 years. Real quick, Mike, say hi to Aaron Mortal.
How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
I'm doing wonderful on this Tuesday evening.
he doesn't want to be honest and go, I don't know what the hell's going on with this guy. But, you know, for the people listening to us, you know, of course, working with Tap Out and On the Mat and all that, you know, and then I was working for a couple of different companies, and we always used to bring Aaron in because she's just a wealth of knowledge in the field of MMA, and I could ask her anything, and, you know, she's brutally honest. But real quick, Aaron, but before we get into talking about the pay-per-view, tell us what's been going on with you. It's been such a long time since I've actually talked to you. You know, what's been going on with Aaron Mortal as far as the MMA scene and everything like that?
You know, I still, of course, watch, you know, every single pay-per-view and fight night, and it, as far as UFC, LFA, I'm not as hardcore as I used to be. I'm not watching Russian fights at, you know, 5 a.m. anymore. but it made it a little more difficult for me to watch those. But, yeah, no, still out there, still, you know, trying to keep up. You know, trying not to step into the casual world. But, yeah, it was a really good pay-per-view this last weekend.
You know, I hate to, because everybody says that, oh, yeah, right. But when you know, because my daughter and I went to Las Vegas, we stayed there Thursday and Friday. And it was a big buzz, you know, for the fights and everything. But we actually went to go check out some pro wrestling. But I did go to the fight shop in Las Vegas and talk to a few people out there. Andre Arlovsky was signing on Friday, and then Saturday early, Justin Gaethje was going to sign over there. So we were talking to some people over there and all that. And I'm telling you, I was like, dude, I don't know why everybody's counting Juliana Pena out. And this is the honest truth. I didn't think she was going to win, but I knew she was going to do damage. I said, you know what? I think Amanda's taking her way too light. I think she's going to do some damage on her. And, you know, and if she could drag her into the later rounds, she's got a chance or whatever. That was my thought. And there's a few people that I said that. And then, of course, when she wins, and I'm like, yeah, no, yeah, right. Yeah, you knew. But going back to the Ultimate Fighter, when Ronda and Misha were both the coaches, you know, I thought that was one of the best Ultimate Fighters, you know, ever. So I bought the DVD set, and, you know, down in my garage, I have a TV and a DVR, a DVD player, and I watched it. I probably watched it all the way through at least 5 times. And I thought, you know, this Juliana Pena, when she has one thing that you can't teach, and that's heart. She has no fear in that, you know, whole thing. She went right after Shayna Baszler, punched her right in the face, took her down, choked her out. And Ronda's just standing there with her mouth open going, you got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? So real quick for the people listening to us on WrestleBuzz, give me your thoughts on that. I mean, I think a lot of people were counting her out, but she, you know, I'm not that surprised that she won. What about yourself?
No, I'm surprised she won. I'm surprised she won. You know, Nunes just, I don't know what her deal was. She seemed off, but she even said she was, I don't know what was going on with her, but it didn't look like regular Nunes. It looked like Nunes when 135 first came onto the scene for UFC, you know? Yeah, I honestly had Nunes taking her out first round. I had her pounding her out, but I'm surprised. She's a good fighter. I think that, you know, her comments saying that, you know, Nunes fought cans is completely outrageous. When you go through her, you know, it's
resume,
because
yeah.
If you compare resumes, I mean, it's like, okay, so Pena fought Nico Montano. She lost to Valentina, you know. Well, she got a win over Kat. I mean, you know, Kat's been struggling for a while.
Right.
You know, she got a win over Jessica I. Oh, whoop-de-doo, okay. You know, for me, I'm just like, okay, well, the resumes are, they're almost not comparable, but yeah, good for her. I mean, it makes it a little more exciting because, right now at 125 and before Pena went at 135, it was, you know, we kind of had chance that it was like, who are they going to fight?
Right.
They're just beating everybody.
Well, you see what happened. What the big thing was when Juliana Pena choked her out and she tapped. They put the camera on Kayla Harrison and she was like, "Oh f," you know, because that was going to be the multi-million dollar matchup because she's coming, you know, from the PFL and all that. That was going to be the, you know, the whole thing. So here's the thing. Okay, I stay up, you know, till whatever time to watch the Dana White press conference because that guy's just blunt. He tells it like it is, and it was true. But he that's what he said. He said, you know, that was the big multi-million dollar fight that I was looking forward to. He said, because I'll be honest with you, when she was, you know, coming up, I said she went to Invicta, and I said, oh, you know, you're just a big fish in a small pond. He goes, then she went to the PFL and she started doing damage, and I thought, well, maybe this girl is something, you know. He goes, so then I brought her over, and there was a big buzz, and we thought, okay, this is it. This is going to be the test, the big multi-million dollar fight. He said, but I'm not boxing. I'm not going to put Amanda against anybody that she can beat, that we know she can beat, just to get that fight. He goes, this is just a sport. That's what happened. So I'm losing a ton of money off of this fight, but I can't do that. I can't just carry somebody along. And, you know, he hates Oscar De La Hoya. He goes, like Oscar De La Hoya when he was coming up in his career. So would you agree with that? I think it did lose quite a bit of steam. I mean, people would have paid big money to see Kayla against Amanda Nunes, but, I mean, I don't think they're going to pay money to see her against – well, first of all, you think Juliana will win in the rematch, or you think Amanda's going to come back and figure out that she does need to pick up her game or whatever, or do whatever she needs to get it going to beat her? What do you think?
I think Amanda wins the rematch. And, and you know, as far as Kayla Harrison, I mean, where would you be planning on putting that fight at 145?
I think so.
I mean, okay, so they do it at 145, and you know, I think people would still pay. Nunes still has clout.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would still pay for it. And technically, Nunes is still the champ at 145.
Right.
But like, who's at 145? Nobody.
Yeah.
There's like nobody there. It's ghost town.
Yeah.
So even, I don't know, bringing Kayla, I mean, are they going to build 145 around Kayla? Where are the 145ers?
Yeah. She destroyed everybody. Yeah. She beat Cyborg at 145, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so that to me, that was the only one that was left in there. And then the other big girl from Australia, Megan, what's her name?
Oh, Megan Anderson. I mean,
yeah, she beat her.
Like, if we want to talk about cans, let's talk about cans. It's like, okay, let's bring Megan Anderson in here, who beat Kat by scraping her eye with a toenail.
Yes.
It's horrible. 145 is practically non-existent. It would almost be just, you know, that fight with Kayla, for me, it's not exciting.
Yeah.
It just isn't, unless there's competition in 145. And it's almost just a fluff fight. You know, it's like, what's the point? Oh, even if Kayla got a belt at 145, now what?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, they'd have to build it up or whatever, and there's nobody to build up in the 145-pound division. But real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. Got my man Michael Parks hanging with me, and we're talking to Aaron Muro, talking a little bit about the 145 division and Juliana Pena, and, you know, that whole women's division right there. That's, you know, and a lot of people are counting out Shlevenko, but she's always in that mix. So Sean Shelby or whoever's doing the matchmaking, that's a tough task. I mean, they got to try this. And when you bring that up, that there's nobody at 145, and then now Amanda loses, that kind of makes it lose its luster. So those guys got a lot of work ahead of them. Now, what about Dustin Poirier? Where do you think he goes from here? Because, you know, that guy, for some reason, can't help but love that guy, man. I mean, he's just a hard worker, and he really paid his dues to get to where he was, and he just couldn't, you know, get over that hump or whatever. What do you think he goes from here?
God, I don't know. You know, he's had so many chances at the title, and
yeah,
he's gone through so much damage too to get to where he is. I don't know what. Go ahead.
His fight with Dan Hooker, to me, was probably one of the best fights I've ever seen. And this question I have for you, that was when they were back at the Performance Center, and that cage is a lot smaller. So it just seems like there's nowhere for you to run. They, you know, you either have to stand and fight or that's it. You know, you're going to get – so when they went back and forth after that fight, I thought, man, he better – you know, I think he should slow it down, get the title shot, and if he doesn't win it, go ahead and retire, because he took a lot of punishment in that fight. I mean, that fight was just back and forth, and, I mean, he really showed a lot in that fight. So I didn't think he really had anything to prove after that. So, I mean, real quick, do you find that, too, that the smaller cage is a different fight? Because that other cage is huge. Dominic Cruz and Pedro were chasing each other around that thing. I mean, when you can turn your back and literally run, that cage is too big. Give me your thoughts on that real quick.
Yeah, I agree. You know, so it works for some fights, but maybe even, I got to say, maybe for the smaller guys, you know. But you put someone like Wonder Boy in there, you know, like Stephen Thompson, it kind of changes their game. I don't know if I guess it can be good because then it does change your game and makes – because, you know, he likes to really use the outer black lines and use that wide karate stance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't – they do have to change it up a little. And I think I prefer the bigger cage, but it's cool. It is cool when they have the smaller one because then they do have to – they're in each other's faces. I mean, they do have to literally stand and bang.
Well,
so
I know everybody's heard this story from me because, you know, I was the – okay, Dean Stone was a main announcer for King of the Cage, but when he could make it or they were double booked, they used me. And it was 3 years. The first year I worked for King of the Cage, I did 12 shows in 1 year. That's how much they were working and went all over the place. So they have three different cages, okay? They have a big cage that they use for when they do the big stadium or whatever out there in Ontario or whatever it's called, and that's the big one. And then they have a medium-sized cage that when you're doing like, the casinos or something like that. But then they have a smaller cage when we do like some of these hotels that have like a ballroom or whatever.
Oh yeah.
So they have those. And let me tell you something, that cage, you turn around and that guy is right there. I mean, and you have nowhere to go. So I've seen those fights where those guys have really had to, you know, change up their game. And I'm telling you, as I sit here today and tell you, I was there. It's a different ball game with that small cage. I mean, you cannot run and you cannot hide. I can't remember. It was a girl's fight. One of the girls from Fit NHB. And I mean, that girl had nowhere to go and she just beat the mess out of her or whatever. So to me, I think it makes it big. I think that cage is way too big. I think just when you could turn your back and run, it's ridiculous, but I think that would make a big difference, you know, or whatever. But they asked Dan about that before, and he's like, no, that doesn't make a difference. We don't care or whatever. But anyways, that it's true, like you say, guys like that or like Lyoto Machida or people like that, they need that room to keep that distance and to keep moving or whatever. But anyways, I'm sorry, Aaron. I go on and on or whatever about that. But unfortunately, I'm running up against the clock. But so what's the future hold for you? I mean, you're still going to keep your foot in the game? Or me personally, I think Aaron should be on some sort of podcast or maybe have her own podcast or whatever because, you know, she's somebody that I like to go to and we get these different opinions and stuff like that. Have you ever thought about that or are you doing that now or what's going on as far as that's concerned?
No, I'm not doing that right now. I just, whenever you hit me up, Bobby, I tell you if I'm, you know, ready to go or not. I just, you know, nerd out on the fights and, fun. And whenever you want me to come on, just, you know, I'm glad to come on. I love talking to you. You know that.
Okay, perfect. Well, the next pay-per-view is going to be at the, it's going to be at the Honda Center, right? So are you going to go to that or whatever? Because I know you're really
close. Oh, no, I'm going. You already know I'm going. You already know I'm going.
Well, here's the thing.
I already got the tickets.
Well, when I went to Vegas, it was to go check out a show, but I actually met with Scott Nelson from On the Mat because I had worked for him for 7 years. And, you know, that's a legit company that it's a long story, Aaron. It took me forever to tell you, but them and Built to Fight, they went to court. It was a whole thing. And, you know, when they pulled the plug on the mat, Kevin Kleinrock, who runs this podcast, he called me 2 days later. He goes, "Hey, come over here, man. We'll take care of you." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." But now that everything is kind of settled, you know, I met Scotty in Las Vegas this last Thursday, and we talked, and he's like, "Hey, man, you know, I really want to bring it back. I wanted," and I'm like, "Absolutely," because when you put in for the press credentials and you put on the mat, you know, then they're like, "Yeah, let's go ahead and do it," or whatever. So that might come back to fruition. I'm hoping it does. If it does, I'll be more than happy to see you up there at the fights so we can, you know, reminisce about the good old days or whatever. So I'm totally down for that. I'm looking forward to it coming to the Honda Center. So I was going to say for the people – well, you know, Aaron, when I went on your social media, you haven't been on as much as you used to be. Kind of slowing down on that, or –
Yeah, I'm really not on Facebook as much anymore. I still tweet, you know, here and there. I'm still, you know, I still keep in touch with the community quite a bit.
Right.
But I'm working for one of our sports teams out here, and
oh, that's right.
And it's keeping me busy. So I've kind of been busy with work and, you know, life and all that. And, but yeah, I'm mostly on Twitter now. I don't know. Facebook is just, I get bored. It's got to keep moving, you know,
your old handle, if I'm not mistaken, was Jewish American Princess, if I'm not mistaken. Is that still what it is, or has it changed?
So they call me MMA Jap on Twitter. That's my handle, and I stick by it. And
yes.
And I'm not a racist. I am actually half Jewish. So there you go. I'm half Mexican, half Jewish.
So for the people listening, if you want to check out, you know, her tweets and stuff like that, just check that handle out. And I will definitely keep in touch. You know, I kind of slipped off a little bit because of, you know, the pandemic and work and stuff like that. But I'm slowly getting myself, you know, back into it. And, you know, I'll never leave this. I'm going to be honest with you, and this is the first time I've ever said this. I kind of got sour to the business from what happened to me at King of the Cage, because it's a long story, and I kind of got the raw end of the deal, or the short end of the stick, or whatever. You know, I don't really want to say, because I'm hoping that there's just a little slight glimmer of hope that they'll, you know, that I can go back over there or whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'll talk about it. But now, you know, what am I going to do? It's been a couple years or whatever since I worked for King of the Cage, so I'm trying to get over it. But back into it. I'm glad Aaron was able to come on, because that always gives me a renewed vigor or whatever. So for the people listening, if you want to check out Aaron, just check out that MMA. Was it MMA JAP?
That's it. Yep, that's
MMA.
It. Hey, you know what, Bobby? Don't
go ahead.
Don't ever let anyone sour MMA for you. Okay,
yeah, I know.
But you can't do that. You have
yeah,
to.
Know.
You know, we love the sport. It's not so you can't yeah. let anyone or anything sour for you. Like that's our, you know, that's our go-to.
That's
the
thing,
that's
yeah.
At least for me, it is.
Yeah, we've been doing it for so long, you know. So, hey, I appreciate you coming on. We'll keep in touch for sure. You know, definitely keep in touch, because it's always good to talk to you. And, you know, just to get back into talking, you know, it's funny because, you know, opinions differ, you know. And I thought when you said, hey, yeah, I thought Amanda, you know, quit or what, I thought, man, well, maybe I'm missing something. I just thought Juliana had it and went right after. And then when you say, and a lot of people were saying that she just wasn't there and she just kind of gave up or whatever. So we'll definitely keep you in mind for the people listening. Make sure you check out Erin Moro. Always good to talk to her. So, you know, Mike's been on with me for quite some time. And if he gets to say two words, he's lucky, because I constantly talk. But I do go to him every once in a while. So just
no, Mike, you just
know.
Have to talk over him. That's how, that
yeah,
was, that's what you do.
He should know that.
You just have to talk over Bobby.
I was planning on it, then I went, I just let him talk.
All right, Aaron. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. I'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
All right. Hey, you guys take care. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Always, Always a pleasure. Erin Mutter, everybody, make sure you check her out on the tweets, and we'll be right back after this.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use
your head. All right, man, we're back here. Talking with Michael Parks. I've just got finished talking with Erin Mutter, talking some MMA or whatever. But it's good to have different opinion. Okay, you know what? We got 5 minutes, okay, before we're going to talk to Principe Leon. I'm going to tell you what happened. If you're listening, cool, you'll know what happened. If not, then you just don't. Dude, everything was going great with King of the Cage, and I think I've told you this before or whatever. But from, you know, Mike Lowe was a shareholder in King of the Cage, you know, or whatever. And he's the one who brought me in. He saw me at Long Beach Fight Night. We were talking all. He said, hey, you want to come and work over here? I'm like, absolutely, man. So I started working, like I said, that first year, man, I had like 12 shows, and we were going all over the place. In that second year, I can't remember how many I did, but King of the Cage did so much business that the two cameramen would sit in first class, and myself and the referee would sit in business class. I mean, you know, and it was really, really, you know, awesome. So I don't know what happened, but Mike Lowe left the company. I don't know if it was on bad terms or whatever. I don't ask any questions or whatever. But that's one of the things. The other thing is, and this is just what I've heard, is one of the people who is the owner's friend, who I won't order, you know, mention any names or whatever, ran the Hard Rock somewhere. Not the one in Vegas, but another one. And he got fired. So them being friends, he said, well, you can come and work over here, and gave him my job. So I had to take the fall. They weren't going to get rid of Dean because he was a full-time announcer or whatever. So, they weren't going to take his job. So apparently I had to be the fall guy. Now that's what I've heard. That's what somebody who is a legitimate person in the business that worked with me told me. Or whatever, and I can't mention any names. So that sucked because everything was going so well, and they were giving me so much more and responsibilities, and I was renting a 12-passenger van, and I was making sure the cameraman got there. I was making sure those cameras and all that high-priced equipment was on that 12-passenger van and at the airport early and ready to go, so they would never have to worry about it or whatever. So that's why I got so soured to the business for a little while. But, you know, try to be a mature man. And, you know, forget about it and come back or whatever. But it sucks. I mean, there's a few people that I've unfriended, not because I'm mad at them, but just because I don't want to see it, dude. You know, because I used to have so much fun and it was so great. And I don't want to see the, you know, hey, King of the Cage is coming here and the lineup is this. And because it just, you know, I had so many friends, Mike Beltran, Herb Dean, you know, all those guys. I used to travel with them. We used to have so much fun. And then it just, the rug just got pulled out from under me, you know, and it just sucked. You know what I mean? So you kind of get where I'm coming from, Mike, why I kind of soured to the business?
Yeah, but you had no control over that. So
I guess not.
No, really, you didn't. And, you know, it just, as angry as you were, it wasn't personal. It was business.
I'm going to tell you a quick story before we get to Principe Leon. We were doing a show in Lac de Flambeau, Wisconsin. The fights went on, blah, 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 whatever. We did the fights. Everything went really well. You know, I go back to my hotel room. I change out of my suit. You know, they gave us these coupons and stuff for whatever. If you want to go eat at the buffet or if you want to go to the little, for lack of a better term, snack bar or whatever to get your stuff. So I go, change out of my suit, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to the snack bar to go get some stuff to take back to my room, and then we're going to leave early in the morning, right? So I go, and I'm walking back, and there's this two drunk guys in front of me, and I mean hammered, dude, swaying back and forth or whatever, heading back to their rooms. And this guy's dropping 20s like it's nothing. They're falling out of his pocket or whatever, and it was literally $120 in 20s. And I'm picking him up behind him. And I have them in my hand, and I'm going, dude, this is a tip and a half, right? And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, man. I'm like, I can't, you know, do this to this man. So I tap him on the shoulder, and I said, hey, man, I said, you're dropping money left and right or whatever. And he looks at me and he's just looking at me and not saying nothing. I said, look, I'm going to put it in your pocket. I said, go to your room and go to bed. Don't stick this in your pocket. It's going to fall out. Never said one word to me. Got in the elevator, went up to his room, didn't say nothing. So that whole drive, I'm going,
he couldn't.
And I $20, but I couldn't do it, man. I started thinking, man, what if that was me and I was hammered and I, you know, lost $120 or whatever. But I mean, it was like Christmas, dude. It was just falling like out of the trees or whatever.
Okay, well, I got one better.
Go
last
for it.
Last week at work, a friend of mine runs the warehouse at my base and comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Mike, this older white guy just dropped $1,300. I got it in my office." I'm like, "Shut up." He goes, and he drove off the base.
Dang.
I'm like, so you got $1,300? He's like, "Yeah." Luckily, the guy came back, and he came back as I was leaving, and I yelled at him. I go, "You okay now?" He was like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay." So my buddy had $1,300,
man.
And he gave it back to the guy. I mean, it's only right.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I could live with myself or whatever. I would have been on that plane thinking, man, something's gonna happen to me, for like karma's gonna get me or something. You know, just can't do it. I mean, that's just one of the stories, dude. I mean, I had so much fun and so many things happen or whatever. You know, it was really cool. But okay, hey man, water under the bridge. Was that you? Who's calling me?
That was me. No, it was me. I wanted to chime in about the Nunez fight.
Uh-huh.
And was it just me, or I mean, I got the sick feeling in my stomach the same way I did when Rousey fought Holmes. Like, something's not right. Something's not right here. This isn't. She was fighting so desperately. I'm like, what's going on?
I think she wasn't ready for it, dude. I think because Juliana's not scared. She's like Diaz brothers. She's just going to – if she gets knocked out, she gets knocked out. She's just going to come after you. So I think she caught her off guard. But God dang, this girl keeps coming. You know what I mean? And it just threw off her game, and she just – you know, she kind of quit or whatever. But it was – Juliana Pena is a different bird, though, man. She can go, you know, so I don't know. But I got to take this break real quick so we can get Principe Leon in here, Mike, and then we'll divulge some more on that.
Right.
Hang on real quick. We'll be right back with Principe Leon.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
What I'm talking about for the people listeners, you're here, you're at Wrestle Boss Live with myself and of course Michael Parks, and we're already calling Principe Leon since we've been so far behind. Hey Principe Leon, it's Fabiano. You're live on Wrestle Boss. Can you hear me, my friend?
What I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
All right. Real quick, what do you have on? You have your computer or whatever on?
Yeah.
Go ahead and kill that, and then just be on the phone, because if not, I got some feedback real quick right here. That's, hold on, I got to – now we're set. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Ah, beautiful. Real quick for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. I got my man Michael Parks here and on the line with us right now. Been wanting to get him on because I have so much to talk about with my trip out to Las Vegas. Principe Leon. Principe Leon, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How about you, man?
And we're doing good. You know, I know you're not too familiar with the show, but, you know, we've been out in California for such a long time in the wrestling scene. So my man that's with me over here, his name is Michael Parks, and I have him with me because we've been in the business for together over like 20 years. And he did a show, a couple of shows, so that's why I have him on, because he knows what it takes. And, you know, he had Psicosis and Rey Mysterio and Damien and Halloween all on the same show. And even though it was a while back, it took just so much to put that show together. So that's why he's on me with me on my podcast. So real quick, Michael Parks, say hi to Principe Leon.
What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
It's funny. Well, it's not funny, but here's the deal. You know, Mike and I, you know, been friends forever. And when I was coming up in the business and I was working for World Power Wrestling and all that, Mike was at all the shows. He's traveled with us. He's been to the promoter's house when the headhunters came and didn't want the dinner. They want to go to McDonald's, so we ended up eating the dinner for them or whatever. We just been through so much together. That's why, you know, we had this. And then we kind of split up for a while, did our own thing, and then he came back and started working towards, you know, doing the show. Now,
nice.
We had everything ready to go. I mean, everything was set, the venue, we had the wrestlers, we had everything, we had the money put away and everything, and then the COVID hit and just threw a monkey wrench right in the spokes or whatever. So that screwed us all up. So now that it's kind of, you know, dissipated, started working on it again, but now this crap is all coming back. So it's like, dude, what are we going to do? So this is all coming to fruition here, Principe Leon. Don't think I forgot about you, but this is why.
No, you're good.
This is why I was out in Vegas. So I work for not only for Mike, but I work for a couple of different companies, you know, booking and scouting talent and you know, stuff like that. So when I heard about Pride Style, because I know Dashade and I know Ricky Mandel and all those guys, because they've come out here before and worked for some promotions out here. And my daughter, who also wrestles, you know, she said, hey, they got this new company called Pride Style. I would like to go check it out. We're going to be in Las Vegas anyways. Let's go check it out. I said, absolutely. I said, let's go check it out. So we went down to go check out the show. Now, this is actually the first Pride Style premiere or whatever at the what's the place called that's in the mall, Principe Leon?
Versus Pro Studios.
Versus Pro Studios. And I didn't know what to expect. So it's kind of like, to explain to the people that are listening, it's kind of like a, you know, a space in the mall, and they kind of had to like cut it in half so that they can have a dressing room in the back, and then it's got a little bit of a stage, and then it's got the ring, and then it's got, you know, the seats and everything for people to sit around. So I thought it was pretty cool, because when you think about it, Mike, this is what we've been talking about before. You know, the ring stays up. You don't have to worry about that. You can use it as a training facility or whatever. So it's the whole setup, you know, which I thought was pretty cool. But Principe Leon, that's not the only place you work, right? Because you also work like Destination 6 and different places like that. What are now, is there other companies that run right there at that same studio?
Not at the same studio, but here in Vegas, we do have the Super Beast Compound,
Versus
Pro Studios, FSW, and BBW. Those are the promotions here in Vegas.
You know, here's the thing. I'm watching the show, right, and it's mostly pro wrestling, and I see Principe Leon wrestling, and he's got what I think is mostly lucha. You know, he's got the mascara and everything. Now, he's teamed with the big, rather large black man or whatever when I saw the match. But when I'm watching you, I'm thinking, dude, he would prosper way more out here in Los Angeles than there, because, dude, Mike, you can attest to this. How many times have we ran up against three different shows, because there's so many lucha shows out here in SoCal, right, Mike?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, it's so the lucha scene out here is so huge that the last show that I worked, we ran up against three other shows on the same day because there's so many. Now, real quick for the people listening to us on WrestleBoss, is that okay? First of all, were you born and raised in Vegas? That's why you're out there, or did you come to Vegas to strictly train wrestling or whatever?
No, actually, I'm from California, and I moved out here when I was 12 with my parents, and just started my life out here, man. And then when the pandemic hit, that's when I actually started training to wrestle and stuff. So Well, I don't have that long.
What part of California did you live in?
I was born in East LA, but then I was raised in El Monte, Baldwin Park, Bell Gardens.
That is the epicenter now of what Lucha is. You know, there's Inoki Dojo is running out like towards in that area or whatever. So, let me put it this way. Not that I'm not putting anything down or whatever, but I mean, have you considered maybe coming back, or you don't mind making that 4-hour drive?
I don't mind making that 4-hour drive. I actually trained with Cholo out.
Okay.
With Little Cholo and Mariachi.
Yeah, and that's good training. That's good training out there. You know, let's put it this way. This is how old I am. I've known Little Cholo since he was 14 years old or whatever, because when I used to work for WPW, he was, you know, that was in Orange County, and he lived up there. So I've known him since he was a kid. Now, here's my dilemma. It just seems like you would, you know, because I'm watching you, and I see, because this is what I'm thinking. Mike. I'm watching Príncipe León. I'm going, you know what? If I teamed him with like Alas de Oro from out here or something, I think that would make a good team, you know, because there's so many Lucha guys out here. Now, am I wrong? Is there a lot of Lucha guys out there? Because it seemed like you were the only one that was on that show. Or let's put it this way. Doesn't matter to you. If it's Lucha or if it's pro wrestling, doesn't matter. You're going to get your stuff in and that's it.
That's right. I'm the only luchador in Vegas.
Yeah,
the only one.
And wow. So, in your opinion, in your because this is what Mike and I talk a lot about. I mean, if you have a good dance partner, I mean it makes a world of difference. And it just seemed like if you had a good dance partner that was more Lucha or whatever, that it would be. Not that I'm not saying that anything was different. I thought the show went great. I thought it was the big 8-man tag or whatever, and we're really good. But I'm watching you, and I'm thinking, man, if I put this kid with this kid, it's gonna do some, you know, some damage or whatever. Do you get that a lot, or do you just like, no, man, I'm Lucha. I'm working in the pro wrestling world. I'm gonna make the best of it. Or do you sometimes go, hey, man, well, maybe I'll go out to LA and work this or whatever. Just real quick, just give me your thoughts on that.
Well, see, I've gone to LA. And wrestle Lucha shows. I've been in a couple. I did RJN promotions. I've done FMLS promotion over there. Peru Dojo or whatever. I'm not sure how to say their name, but I worked for all those promotions out there. I actually just teamed up with that guy that you saw me with, Big Duke Loring, the guy from Las Vegas. Me and him have been tagging already for a couple months. Everything's been going smooth and great. And we're trying to make an impact with the whole big man, little man, in the wrestling scene and in the Lucha scene. So it don't matter if it's Lucha or it's wrestling, we got it locked down.
Yeah, because it seems like that's a good like he sets them up and you just knock them down. You know what I mean? It's like he body slams them, you come off with the plancha or whatever, and it works. You know, I see that or whatever. But now when you were out here, what are some of the people that you worked out here? Some of the wrestlers that you worked with?
I work with Chris Nasty.
Okay.
Alex Vega. I've done, I've actually gone one-on-one with my tag team partner, Duke Loring.
Uh-huh.
And then we tagged with, against Fletcha and, what's the other guy's name?
Now when you say Fletcha, you mean La Fletcha Fugaz?
Yes.
Oh,
at Hard Knocks,
that's over for EWF. I know exactly what you're talking about. And speaking of Alexander Vega coming up in the ranks, it was myself, Alexander Vega, Freddie Flores, and my daughter Nicolette. We were called they used to call us MAGA. Mexicans can go anywhere.
So, I like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, now we have a faction called the Roots. And it's Alex was supposed to come work with us, but he got hurt and he couldn't do it or whatever. So that's what we're working on. So the whole thing, what I'm trying to get at is we got to get you out here for one of our shows or whatever, because I think this is how the mind works. I see him like, well, if I put this guy with this guy, it's going to work. Or if we tag this guy with this guy, I think it's really going to, you know, it's going to do. And that's what I saw when I was out there. So it's, you know, right. Definitely got to get you out here to do some shows for us and some different, but we want to make it worth your while. This is what we talk a lot about too. If you're going to come down here and make that 4-hour drive, we want to at least, you know, maybe work for us for one day and another company the next day, you know, so you can get a couple of good paydays and then head back home. So that's what, so real quick for the people listeners, don't forget, if you want to check out Príncipe León, he's got a huge show coming up. It's this Saturday, December 18th. Now, this one is Destination 6, which is in the city of Barstow, right?
Yes,
real
sir.
Quick, I want to talk about this show because it's, dude, it's like some sort of an X division with a bunch of different people in it. Now, when we head out to Vegas, we stop in Barstow. We stop at the train station or whatever. That seems like a small town. Now, I see you guys get a pretty good crowd out there. Now, is it because there's nothing to do out there, so that's like the big show? Or because, like, Mike, remember back in AAA, you know, they would do these shows, like, way out there in the middle of nowhere, and it would be packed because that was, like, the big thing of the town or whatever. Is that kind of like how it is out there at Destination 6?
You know what? Honestly, Destination 6 is super dope. The fans are very interactive and everything.
Yeah.
When I'm out there, I just drive out there and I get there at close to like call time and then
do your thing,
get it going. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure how the area is or anything.
Well, I've seen it, and the concept and whatever is really nice. That's a really nice arena, or whatever. So it looks really good. But now you got this match coming up, and it's you, it's JBD, Brandon G. I've seen Rickster. I've actually seen him work out here in Orange County. And one more, Noah Anderson or whatever. Explain to me how all this came about. I mean, it's just a huge – that's a lot of people for one match. Is all those people gunning for your belt?
Yeah, man. I actually just won the belt like 2 months ago from Vito Fertelli.
Uh-huh.
Took the belt away from him. And everybody's gunning for me now. I'm about to be – I'm in an X match, so my belt will be hanging from 15 feet up in the air with in the X, and six of us competitors got to try to get up there and bet see who wins it.
Yeah, well, that Mike, that leaves me out because I can't climb nothing, man. As old as I am, I'll be like, hey, Príncipe León, let me, if I give you this amount of money, can you get it for me or whatever? Because you know how hard it is for me, but. Hey, for the people listeners, if you want to go check out a good show, I highly recommend that you go check it out. It's kind of smart because it's, you know, 2 hours from Vegas and 2 hours from L.A. So, you know, it kind of meets in the middle. So that's why they get such a good crowd. So it's a Destination 6 Arena. It's Saturday, December 18th, which is this Saturday. It's in the city of Barstow. Do you know what time everything is taking place there, Príncipe León?
The show starts at 2, and I think they're going to open the doors at 1:30.
Show starts at 2. Let everybody in at 1:30. Real quick, I want to shoot a couple more questions at you real quick. Can you hang for just a quick break?
Yeah, man.
Okay, hang on. We'll be right back with Príncipe León. Mike, I'll get you in this conversation too. Hang on, everybody.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend, Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Yeah, it took me a minute to get going here, but we're here live with WrestleBoss. I got my man Michael Parks with me, and we're talking to Príncipe León, talking a little about the Lucha scene, and, you know, just get your name out there so that people could come and see you and check you out. But real quickly, you know, when we always, you know, I know you're not too familiar with the show, but when we always have somebody on for the first time, we like to shoot a couple of questions at them. I'm going to take this around the table, real quick, okay? Because I've been watching a lot of wrestling. It's funny because I was talking to Mike, and I'm on the tail end of my career. I mean, I'm gonna be honest, man. I got maybe 2 matches left in my career because I'm so beat up. But it's good because it's given me a chance to, you know, Mike and I just go to some shows just to go watch, you know, and scout talent. And it's kind of nice to just sit down, watch the show, and not have to worry about, you know, getting dressed and I got to get out there going over a match, blah, 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 whatever. So I've really had a chance to watch a few matches. Now, in the last month or so, I got to go see Black Tarus, Laredo Kid, mm-hmm. and Psicosis in a three-way. And I'm going to go on record as saying right now, I mean, of course, you know, the Lucha Brothers and guys like that are really good. But I got to say, man, Laredo Kid and Black Tarus, first of all, Black Tarus I think is way underrated, but they put on the show. And I got to say right now, those two have to be in the top two of the best luchadores in the world because, I mean, they were seeing them in person was amazing. And I've been in this business for a long time. So I'm going to go with those two right now that are on the top of the game. Mike, what do you – give me your top two.
Well, who's the kid that – I was watching Triple Mania, and
El Hijo de
he has the belt now. Yeah,
That dude's he's coming up there too, man.
He's pretty good, but I still Bandito's up there for me, man. And I I like Rouge, man, because he's a mixture, you know what I mean? He's a mixture of lucha. He's a brute when it comes to
and Bandito's Bandito's at the top of his game too. That's a good see. That's why we have you, Mike, because you know what's up. But let's take it to our special guest, Príncipe León. Give us your top two right now.
I gotta go with Hijo de Vikingo as well. Man, that guy, he's crazy.
I gotta go with
Bay Phoenix, man. That's my guy.
Yeah,
I like watching him.
You know, I work for Lucha Central, and that's Kevin Kleinrock and Ruben Garcia, and you know we went to the last two Lucha Expos. The next one's coming up in June. It's going to be at the ECW Arena in Philadelphia. You know, and it's huge. They've been working on it for 2 years. But let me tell you something. I'm an old man, dude. The first Lucha Expo, they reunited the Mexicos. It was Super Crazy, Nicho, and Juventud Guerrera, and they put them up against Rey Mysterio, Rey Fénix, and Penta Cerro, right? Dude, I'm an old man. I'm in bed by 8:30, okay? The match wasn't going to come on till 11. I had to go take a nap, but I said, there is no way I'm going to miss this match, you know, because I said, I want to see Rey Fénix and Penta in person and see what the hype is all about. Let me tell you something, man. They delivered 100%, and they put whoever thought that to reunite the Mexicos and put them against them. You know, I mean, it blew the roof off the place. So there is no denying that those two, Rey Fénix and Penta, are two of the best in the world. So let's put it this way: Príncipe León, they give you a call. They say, "Hey, look, man, my name is such and such. I'm the promoter of promoters. You can wrestle anybody you want, anybody." You could choose anybody, and you could go against them. Who would that person be?
I got to go with La Leyenda, Rey Mysterio, man. I have to. You know, it's like his height and my height is, like, perfectly. And it's like that guy that got me into wrestling, or Lucha Libre.
You know, it's funny because we used to work for a guy named Ed Aarons, and he used to run these shows for free. Like at the parks and stuff, because the Parks and Recreation would give them a certain amount of money to put shows or whatever, right? So he said, "I'm bringing this kid. His name is Calibri or something like that. I can't remember what they used to call him back then." Yeah, and we're getting dressed, and I see this kid come in. I thought that was somebody's kid that just was like came to be with his dad at the wrestling. And I, you know, as a matter of fact, Mike, I think it was Lester, you know, Supreme. Chaos's uncle that told me, he goes, "No, man, that guy's a wrestler." I said, "What, that guy?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, did somebody not show up?" No, he can go. And when I saw him wrestle, I went, "Holy shit, this, you know, this kid can go," or whatever. So that was my first time seeing him in person. I mean, little did I know he was going to blossom into you know, what he is today or whatever. But far and away, to this day, people still come from all over. I mean, people were driving, like you, 4 hours from L.A. to Vegas for the first Lucha Expo just to see him, you know. And they had to cut his he was going to sign for, I think, an hour, and they had to cut it for a half hour. And the line was still, I got to say, at least, I'm going to say at least 50 people deep still. And they were very,
yeah, I was there.
You know, yeah, very. Oh, yeah, at the one in Vegas, at the first Lucha Expo. Did you buy the VIP so you can get it?
Actually, at that time, I didn't know about the expo. So me and my at the time, I took me and my kid to just go and have the 2-day pass. And luckily, my son that day, my son was able to meet him because some other couples are like, "Oh, just have him go with us." And you know, big fan before he went back to WWE.
Yeah.
I had him sign my WWE replica belt, so I have that. Autographed by Rey Mysterio before he went back to WWE.
So did you get to stay for the match?
Yeah, I stayed for the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, did they put on the show?
I went to the one in San Diego, too. Yeah, man,
well,
they killed it.
Yeah, I was at the one in San Diego. Well, here's the thing. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm going to let you jump in right now. But here's the thing that I think that made the difference. Because there was a lot of, you know, they teamed Black Dottos with Brody King over there, and just the matchups, the different matchups that they had, you know, what's his name, Mil Huertas, that dude stole the show. I mean, that dude worked a couple of different matches and really, really looked good. You know, it's just the way they mix it up is what really makes the difference or whatever. I'm sorry, Mike, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, and I was going to ask the brother, have you ever seen the cage match of Rey Mysterio and Psicosis from Mexico?
No, man, I gotta watch that.
That almost caused a riot. Remember that? Remember that match right there?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it's one of his best matches ever.
Yeah.
Is that cage match against
Psicosis? It was amazing. Well, dude, you know, especially back then, anytime it was Psicosis against Rey Mysterio, you know, it was money. You know, ECW or whatever. So I mean, it didn't matter. Whatever, those guys can go. Unfortunately now, I don't know how Rey Mysterio is still able to do what he does today because, Mike, you know, as you know, I saw Nicho at that show and both knees are shot. He could barely, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of I want him to just go ahead and ride off into the sunset only because, you know, he's done so much for the sport and he's really, you know, he's hurting now or whatever because he just doesn't look the same. But, you know, still, I mean, you know, there's no denying that those guys, you know, brought all the luchas to the forefront and all that. But anyways, Príncipe León, hey, man, a million thank yous for coming on. It was good to see you out there. Me personally would like to bring you out so that we could, we're some matchups that we're thinking about that I think would be pretty good or whatever. But for the people listening to us, don't forget, check out Príncipe León. It's going to be this Saturday, December 18th. It's at the Destination 6 Arena in the city of Barstow. The doors are going to open about 1:30. They usually get going about 2 o'clock or so. It's the big D6W X match for the Ultra Gen 6 Championship, which Príncipe León himself is the holder of that belt. But he's going to be going up against, you know, 4 or 5 different dudes. The thing's going to be hanging up off of things. So it's going to be a huge match. We look forward to, you know, the people checking that out. And we look forward to getting you out here, man. So I think we got something here. You know, let me tell you this. I thought Príncipe León did really well, and the Maserati girl that wrestled, I thought she was amazing. You know, she really worked the crowd and stuff like that, and really, I mean, she's really good too. Those are the two people who kind of stuck out to me. Of course, Dashaid and Tita, that match was ridiculous or whatever. There was bloody noses before it even got going or whatever. So for the people listening, make sure you check out Príncipe León. You got any social media or whatever so the people can follow you, my man?
Yeah, man, I got Twitter, Príncipe León, and then my Instagram is Príncipe underscore León underscore Oficial, and my Facebook is Príncipe León.
Okay, perfect. We'll make sure we give that out at the end. Hey, a million thank yous for coming on. For the people listening, make sure you check out Destination 6 this Saturday. It'll totally be worth your while. A million thank yous for coming on, my man. We'll get with you real soon, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right, you got it. Príncipe León, everybody. We'll be right back with myself and Mike to wrap it up. Make sure you check him out.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
We're running up against the clock, but, you know, Mike, real quick, I want to get this in. We talked a little bit in the beginning about, you know, people that pay to see the show, you know, for somebody else to be watching it for free or whatever. So that was, you know, whatever. But here's the thing. Give me your thoughts on this. This was the first time that I went to a show and that they were doing commentary while the show was going on. I'm going to be honest. I didn't like it. I mean, it kind of took away because this girl Maserati that was in the match, she knew how to work, dude. She knew how to work the crowd. And I'm sitting in the front row and I'm going, what? What? Because the guys were talking, you know, and the comp, so I couldn't hear her. And she was working the crowd. And then I'm going, what, Jessica, what'd you say? What? You know what I mean? So that kind of took away a little bit from me. Give me your thoughts. I mean, don't you think later on, you know, or they should be silent, and then it comes out in the DVD or whatever afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, because I went to a show, and it was like the announcers tried to take over the show with their little catchy phrases and this and that, and it's like, ooh, you gonna let them work, or you just gonna try to take over the show yourself? So yeah. I mean, it's not cool at all.
Yeah, I didn't like it. You just didn't give the guys in the ring a chance to work that crowd, which to me is becoming a lost art or whatever. But I just take that for example. That Maserati, she really stuck out. This, you could tell this girl has been around. She knows how to work. She knew how to work the crowd. Her stuff was spot on or whatever. But I just, that was the whole problem. Like, what, Jessica, what'd she say? Okay. You know what I mean? It was like that or whatever during the match. That was really just the only part that really I didn't like about the show. I mean, you know, we've put on shows that we know what it takes, you know, to do it, but I just think they could really do without. But I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Well, before we get off, you discussed the man versus woman and the issue you had with that.
That was another one. Okay. Regardless of what it is, you know, the curtains pull back, I don't think that the man should be punching and kicking the woman. I've wrestled against women before, and it's been strictly wrestling and then, you know, some high spots or whatever. But I just don't condone the punching and the kicking because regardless, it sends a bad message to the kids. And it just, you know, I just don't like the punching and the kicking. Yes, you can work a match. They did a match with hold on a second. Jessica, who were those people that had that match when it was one-on-one? Do you remember their name? Brian Thorne? Yeah, it was Bryn Thorne against the guy, and they strictly worked a wrestling match with some high spots. No punch and kick. They were just boom, 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 and it went really well. The guy in that situation has no, you know, if you win, well, you're expected to win. You're a dude, and if you lose, then you're dumb because you lost to a girl. So it doesn't make sense. So it's kind of hard. Him or whatever, but I just don't. Well, give me your thoughts on that, dude. I mean, you think that's cool or what?
No, it never happened back in the day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we can't, I guess nowadays we can't keep talking about old school because this is a new generation and things happen differently nowadays. But I just, I don't like it, you know. You know, you go back to looking at that Suzuki and what he did to Oscar,
and how
uncomfortable I felt.
Yeah,
watching
that. Yeah, that was really bad.
You know.
Yeah,
it was, and it's just like, oh, come on, dude. Why are you guys letting this go on? You know.
Yeah, and
because it doesn't.
It's a shame because it shines a different. Because I am a huge Minoru Suzuki mark, but I didn't like that.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah.
That to me was a bit much, and you know, it makes me cringe because I could picture just talking about it. I can picture some of the things he was doing. It's just like,
that dude. Especially that guy with his background and stuff like that. It's just not that good. Now, you know, these guys, I mean, it's being young, but dude, I can't make a 4-hour drive. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to make a 4-hour drive, even though it's not that much, I'm going to stay out here and then go back in the morning, you know, because to me, doing a turnaround, because I'm old, dude. I can't, you know, they don't let me chew tobacco anymore or nothing. So I don't know how the hell you handle the car right. But I had Jessica with me. She took over from Barstow. So it was just 2-2. So it wasn't that bad. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
But that just shows that he's hungry to wrestle. And that's a good thing.
Yeah,
now,
he's hungry.
I just, you know, I would hope that, you know, he doesn't get rusty being the only luchador in Vegas and not
saying.
Being able to wrestle Vegas.
You kind of get what I'm saying?
Not being able to wrestle lucha out there. Yeah.
Yeah,
if
he was out here, dude, he would just be, it's Lucha Central. He'd be hitting that, you know, every day, every show, it'd just be more and more and more looks, you know, from different lucha guys or whatever. But, you know, he's got it out there, and, you know, he's willing to come out this way or whatever. So we definitely, you know, let's bring him out, dude. Let him do some. Well, he's been out here, especially working with Vito and guys like that. So it's like, you know, he knows what he's doing. So we look forward to that. So anyways, Mike, I know when Greg gets this, he's going to go, holy shit, what happened? But, it took me a minute to get going. I don't know what it is. It might be my computer or whatever. Who knows? I gotta get it together. But we appreciate you coming on talking about that. So not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, we'll talk a little bit more about some different shows that I'm gonna go check out. I can't remember UEW or something. One of those shows that they're having a toy drive. So I'm gonna check. That's all local talent. So I'm gonna go check that out. We'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe you and I can hit up another show before we come back on the following Tuesday. All right, my man?
Right on. I'm with you.
Oh, by the way, if you want to go to a show on Saturday, speaking of Saturday, December 18th, I'm working for Mr. California. You know who Mr. California is wrestling? El Ejido. Remember the big tall guy with the black mask that had the big white cross on it or whatever? They used to wrestle in AAA. He's wrestling him in a death match. So, and that's going to be at Delo Jiu-Jitsu, which is out there in the city of Stanton. I got Red, dude, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but everything's, I was going to say Red Rooster, but that guy retired a long time ago. But I'm wrestling Red something out there. So if you want to come down and check it out, it's going to be this Saturday at Delo Jiu-Jitsu. The main event is Mr. California versus El Elegido in a death match. So come, and it's funny because I saw him yesterday at Lucha Libre Alliance, and I'm like, dude, has Elegido ever wrestled a death match or what? He's going to do it now. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that works out. So if you want to check it out, it's this Saturday at Delo Jiu-Jitsu. Doors open at 6:30. First match is at 7. There's a whole bunch of other people that are on the card. I'm sorry. I should have been prepared as a person. But if you want to come, Mike, if you want to come down, check it out. It's this Saturday at Delo Jiu-Jitsu. So,
as long as it doesn't rain.
Yeah. Well, no, they could keep it inside if they want to. So it's going to go. So it just would be interesting to see El Ejido in a death match. I would interested to see how that goes. So we'll go from there.
Oh, wow.
A lot of stuff going on, Mike. So I'll keep you posted on that. And I'll see you not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday right back here on the air. Right, my man?
Right on.
And as usual,
have a good night.
We appreciate your patience, Michael Parks. All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.